On today's Phoenix Magazine podcast, we get into the brand new May-June issue. It's all about summer travel with Craig, our editor, and Maddie, who's on the cover, our associate editor. They get into all the great features in the new issue. But first, let's talk about Best of the Valley. Best of the Valley voting is going on right now on phoenixmag.com. Check it out. You can vote once per day per category. And there are hundreds of different categories to vote on. So make sure you get on there and check it out. Vote for your favorite burger, taco, acupuncture, your favorite pet store, your favorite craft beer style, anything you can think of. We probably have it on our Best of the Valley ballot. It's running now until May 19th. So make sure to get out there and vote once per day per category. PhoenixMag.com. All right, let's have some fun here with the part of the Phoenix Mag team. We got Craig OTA, our editor-in-chief, along with the woman you see featured on the cover, Madison Rutherford, our associate editor. You also wrote the Arizona vacation rental piece of the new issue. So, Maddie, let's start with you.
Okay.
First time on a cover?
Yeah. I've joined the ranks with Morel, who
to
was
our
on
knowledge,
our
yeah.
our summer travel feature a couple of years ago, actually.
That's right. Yeah. It's sort of a thing, a well we go back to every once in a while, getting staffers on the cover of our summer.
Yeah, Morel, I remember that cover. It's just her back. But that's at right. least on this cover, we see Maddie's face here.
Kind of a rakish, saucy, like,
yeah.
Cravat thing going on.
Yeah, I was going for a vintage vibe with the vintage suitcase, kind of the 70s jumpsuit. I've got a lot of good compliments on my white boots.
Those heels are killing it, girl. Mm-hmm.
See, I figured that's how you normally travel. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is actually toned down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I usually have more suitcases. So
I know Morel went to some lengths to get this. What is this? This Jeep here on the cover? What
this
kind of car is that?
This is a 1978 Land Cruiser.
Land Cruiser. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, nice. And it broke down.
Yeah, it was. Almost died in this 1978 Land Cruiser.
I think the backstories to this issue are more interesting than the issue itself.
Straight
arguably.
Up. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the point of the podcast, right? Is to talk about like
Absolutely.
All the weird stuff that happened to bring you this.
Where did it break down?
So we were in between. So we were coming back from Dolan Springs, which is where this was taken. This was the Taylor Cave Inn Airbnb. So we did stay inside of a cave, and on the way back, that was about a 3.5 hour trip. So we were about an hour outside of Wickenburg, and that strip of where it's just like desert and Joshua trees. I believe it's called the Joshua Tree Parkway or
the
something.
The one place in Arizona where you can find Joshua.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's pretty distinct for that reason. And so we had rented this from a man named Hank. Morel took care of that. I wish she was here to kind of tell that backstory. But she was trying to find a vintage car for the cover. This one was perfect.
Totally.
And
pops.
He had warned her that when you're at about a quarter tank of gas, start looking for a gas station.
Meaning the dials on a quarter tank.
Yes.
Because it means you're not really at a quarter tank.
Right.
It's one of those.
So
maybe the little gauge gets stuck somewhere in the tank and
right.
you really don't know.
It's a 40-year-old gauge.
Yeah.
And so she took that at face value. She's like, all right, I'm going to start thinking about getting gas.
Right.
Of course, there was no gas stations around there. But she's like, we'll be fine. We'll get into Wickenburg. We'll get gas. I was asleep in the back seat. So Morel was driving. Eric, her partner, who's also featured in here as well as a stand-in model.
He's the driver.
He's on the cover too.
But there's a reflection.
Easter egg.
Yeah, I couldn't even find him initially. I didn't even know he was there, and I scrutinized it a little bit. No, there's Eric.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, he's driving.
He's bearded, so, you know.
So, yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, I wake up and I like pop my little head up and we're like sputtering on the side of the road. And long story short, or short story long, I don't know. We ended up being on the side of the road for 5 hours. Morel called 911 twice.
AAA eventually.
AAA event. Well, the lovely policeman, Highway Patrol from Wickenburg, came and brought us gas.
DHS. She's from California like I am. We call them CHPs, but here it's DHS.
It's like the MVD and the DMV.
That's it.
DPS, right?
DPS. Is
yeah.
that it?
Yeah. Department of Public.
Now I'm CPS, Anyway, so he brought us gas. It wasn't enough gas. Then AAA came like 3 hours later. There were various characters that stopped on the side of the road along the way. We made it back and published
and got the
magazine.
Shot. Very good. Is the
I was
shot.
I'm gonna let you know that I was, you know, I wasn't, I didn't want to like be on the cover of the magazine, but I was like, if we don't get this car on the cover, like it was for nothing.
Right. Yeah,
but
for sure.
There's a lot of pride that goes into this because we almost didn't make it back.
Blood, sweat, and gas can.
Yeah. Name of my memoir.
All right. No. So from one unconventional rental in the Land Cruiser to the rest of your feature piece, you explore different Airbnbs or vacation rentals throughout the state in different kind of remote locations, unique properties. Did you have a favorite?
That's a good question. I wanted to make them all very distinct from each other. I really liked the glamping in Tucson. It's actually in Marana, so it's kind of like, again, like in the boonies in the middle of nowhere. Very remote and very sustainable. I think the cool thing about that was it was on this little like compound, and they have a compost toilet, and it, like, you know, they're very cognizant of energy being used and all that. So it was kind of a new experience for me. I don't know if I have a favorite though. I think they all kind of speak for themselves and are my favorite for different reasons.
I liked, at least visually, the A-frame you found in the mountains. You know, and during the summer too, that was kind of the idea. We wanted to make sure we got some high country, high elevation
for
places,
sure.
Right? And there's some beautiful like places in the city that have great swimming pools. Those would be great staycation options. But that A-frame, where was it?
Flagstaff.
We shot with Tara Hitchcock.
Yeah, I noticed her and her husband, Ken Francis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Tara works with us.
Everyone knows him as Ken Doll in the biz.
That's right.
I used to work with her at Channel 3 for a long time.
That was her nickname for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and everyone started eventually calling him that. You know, like
poor guy.
So I remember Scott Passmore asking her once a week, how's Ken Doll doing? When is he coming in?
He does have blonde hair.
And they're great. Yeah. They are like Barbie and Ken. Yeah. They're like the perfect couple goals for real.
And she's always great to work with and loves covering travel. That's kind of been her.
She's one of our judges for the travel awards, right?
It's coming up in the next issue. That's correct. Yeah. So anyway, that was a great shot. So Maddie did find those great cooling places. The one in the cave looked great too for the summer. I mean, a cave is by definition a cool, dark place.
Yeah, it's very.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Dark and day.
Yeah, that image in the magazine there. You're in that as well, and that does look like the place to be in the summer to just get away from the heat, right?
And Morel killed it with those photos inside too.
It really is.
Yeah.
People do, and Airbnb's a thing when it comes to summer.
Absolutely.
Staycation.
I know my family's always looking for one in Flagstaff, Pine Top. Different kind of approach here with these. Make sure to check it out. You'll also see your dog, right? Bentley.
Yeah. He has a modeling debut.
What are his modeling fees? I want to know.
So yeah, if you take a look at the masthead, that was kind of like a fun little nod that we did to him where he was, he came to Flagstaff with us and to Tucson, and he got lots of pets and belly rubs and attention.
There you go.
He was a fan fave for sure.
Very cool. Very cool. Craig, summer travel piece, not just in Arizona. It's kind of broken up into a lot of different side features.
We have five travel features.
Yeah. And,
plus Lee is staycation.
Staycation is in there.
Right,
a lot of great deals.
We kind
of
cover all the bases. Yeah.
You went to Wyoming, right? Give us a little breakdown of that.
Yeah. Visited the Jackson Hole area. And that feature is based around wildlife viewing, which is, you know, Jackson Hole is beautiful. It really is a special place, barely populated. It's like 10,000 people that live there. And the whole valley, Jackson Hole refers to the town of Jackson plus the valley that it sits in, kind of the same size as our valley, but, you know, with what would that be, like 1% of the population? I mean, it's
straight up. It's
beautiful to go on a wildlife tour there. The animals kind of own that valley, and there are a lot of outfitters and guides in that economy set up to help people navigate all the cool wildlife there. During the summer or spring, you can see bears, you can see moose, the elk kind of take off during the spring and summer, but you know, with a talented guide or a knowing guide, you can find those too. So
Is that kind of turning into like more and more of a like a celebrity hotspot or millionaires kind of moving like a Yellowstone kind of
that. Jackson Hole has that reputation now. Like I asked the people there, so who are the stars that live here? And the stars you usually hear are Harrison Ford and Sandra Bullock. But then they also add that the people who have really moved in are the true billionaires, the people only your stockbroker or your financial planner's names know. So it was it has become a kind of a pricey place or high dollar kind of playground.
Yeah. Okay. Another feature, not my idea of summer travel, but it made for a fun story when Tom Zollner and Clu Haywood from Twitter or X. Yeah. Went out on the road. I remember people talking about it the day after or the weekend after because he live tweeted it.
Oh, right.
But we have a great story in there about
Clu Haywood did.
Yeah, Clu Haywood live tweeted it.
Twitter /X celebrity, right?
And they went around the entire state, visited 26 Arizona gaming casinos or tribal
casinos, right?
Yeah, and placed a bet everywhere.
A $100 bet at the blackjack table or high stakes slots. Slot machine all 26 casinos over the course of one weekend.
Yeah.
So, and then wrote this first person travelogue, Tom Zollner, our writer, did. And we thought from the outset, it had this kind of Hunter S. Thompson vibe to it. So we kind of leaned into that. We found a illustrator who does a nice Ralph Steadman impersonation and he illustrated it. I think it's a fun piece.
Yeah. Go in to check out the magazine, get on newsstands. You can see what Clu Haywood looks like, right?
Well, it's a caricature.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been the one great anonymous person.
There's no known
person, right?
Photograph of the man out there. So we're not sure.
I think people know who he is, but they just won't out him for some. He's got that great reputation.
When he initially, because remember, he got famous when he was doing the Peloton. Peloton came out with this ads during the it was pandemic, and he'd do these really snarky, funny, insightful captions basically to these Peloton photos, which was invariably like a really attractive rich couple in their high rise Manhattan apartment, and then she's doing the Peloton and he's flipping through an Architecture Digest or something. I mean, it's just so pretentious.
Yeah.
Anyway, he became they were funny. He became that sort of made him go viral. Clever guy. The writer, Tom, is extremely clever. So all that comes through. It's fun.
Very fun. Very fun. You also hit one right up my alley, the D-back summer road trip.
Yeah.
I'm taking my family around. I'm trying to hit all 32 ballparks before they become adults.
That's great.
We've got about four or five.
Pilgrimage. That's what this is.
You wrote about one we did last year going to D.C. And the one we're doing this year is L.A. to San Diego.
Oh, that's fun. That's the easy one.
That's super easy. Yeah.
And great for the summer, right?
Yeah. You break it down nicely because the schedule can be tough to navigate.
It can, right? I do that. I do the same thing. I have a high school buddy who, we go and do baseball road trips every few summers. And it's kind of, we just go for the ballparks. But I was thinking if there's a Diamondbacks fan after the World Series last year, of course, a lot of people are jazzed about the D-backs. They look even better this year on paper. So, I went through and I found different road trips that they were taking, the D-backs, road stands, I guess you'd call them, linking ballparks that were, drivable. So I found, a Tampa Bay Rays, Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins away stand or road trip, and wrote a piece around that because I was out in Florida last year for something, so kind of utilized some of the experiences there. Also Kansas City and Chicago, like you said, Washington DC and Philly, and then Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Those ones
That was my favorite personally, because those two parks are amazing. Pittsburgh's park is fantastic. It's right in the city. It's kind of sunken. The skyline is right behind the outfield, so it kind of feels like that's part of the stadium. Fantastic. And Cleveland has a beautiful stadium, too, and I really love Cleveland in the summer. It's just a gorgeous city. So, it was a fun trip. I hope people, do that and make use of it.
Yeah, that one, that Pittsburgh-Cleveland one caught my eye. I think you lead the piece with that, because that one is a really unique one. but it's like kind of late in August and kids are back in school. I was really kind of bummed I couldn't make that one
right
this year. So we chose Southern California.
Right. Well, it's easy. That is the low hanging fruit.
That is actually one stadium. Just a quick story. The 94 strike, we had tickets to go to a game at Dodger Stadium the day they went on strike.
Oh,
and so I've never been to Dodger Stadium.
Never been to Chavis Ravine.
Nope.
I mean, that one I know real well because I grew up in Southern California and I've been to both those stadiums a lot. And I've been to a lot of the places in between. So for that particular trip, you should hit Temecula. There's a wine region right between LA and San Diego that's not really that well known still, but does some great work. Also great breweries there in Temecula, which I know you're into. So, yeah, that would be if you had an extra, you know, day between. That's kind of what this is designed to do. I also try to suggest minor league ballparks. For me, if I'm going on a baseball road trip, I want to see a minor league game,
too. Mm-hmm.
There's just a purity there, and it's fun, and, you know, it's easier to get into, and they always have a lot of personality and flavor.
If you ever want to sit front row for, like, $10 or something, minor league ballparks, what you got to check out.
Yeah.
Let's move back to, I think my favorite story reading through the magazine was Robert Pelliss' story in the James Beard Awards, going woke or having the perception that they went woke and essentially irritating everyone in the restaurant industry. Was that kind of what you took away from that?
Well, not everybody, but I mean, it was kind of a controversial thing during the pandemic. They took a pause. They didn't actually have any awards in 2020 and they did embark on this kind of diversity sensitive reboot. And that was interesting to me. But the more interesting part of that to me, we have an anonymous source in the article, a former judge, who kind of gave us some insights into how they select winners. And there's not a lot of rigor there. And by that, I mean the people who are doing the judging, apparently, at least in some years, allegedly, weren't going to all the restaurants that were being considered for some of the top awards, especially in our region. Arizona has always been part of a larger region. Like, for instance, California has its own James Beard Awards. Texas has its own James Beard Awards. New York, I think. Arizona has always been part of a, you know, southwestern region. Sometimes that's included Texas or Colorado, who are now in different regions. Right now, it includes New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Nevada.
Wow. Okay.
So you have all these restaurants from this giant region competing against each other. There's no way from logistically just looking at it that judges are going to every restaurant in four different states.
Yeah, you'd have to fly and take that expense. And
so there's just a question there. Are the awards relevant anymore to Arizonans or Phoenician food fans? That was kind of the main premise.
Sure.
And, you know, I like the James Beard Awards. I've always gotten excited about them. I love covering them when a local restaurant wins, which doesn't happen very often in Arizona anymore, which is part of the problem.
Yeah, we always just hear about nominations and then like two or three every year. They're a finalist. And then
we've only had one best chef winner over the last 15, 16 years. It was Charlene Badman at FMB. That doesn't seem right when we're competing against, frankly, Oklahoma. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
That state has half the people that Arizona has and doesn't seem like it has as much of an elite food culture just from the outside. I don't know for sure. In any case, it just felt like, it was time to ask that question.
Yeah.
And Robert Pelliss did, and I think he did a great job.
Craig's fired up. He's throwing the water ball around.
I am throwing it all over,
It always comes up because, you know, I get stuck watching these Food Network cooking competition shows, and the story mentions these. Mm-hmm. And they do intro everyone. Like, I intro you guys with your titles or whatever, but they intro everyone as a 5-time James Beard nominated chef. And it's funny because I remember we were doing a podcast, I think, with Rene Andrade. And you brought that up and he kind of poo-pooed the idea of James Beard, like they didn't matter. I think it was him who said that. And it kind of struck me as, wow, these chefs really just some don't care about an award.
I think that's, you know, it's almost like being a professional ball player. You're not in it just to get the MVP award. You're a team person. You're in it for the fans. At least that's what you say. I mean, no one dislikes being celebrated, I don't think. Maybe some genuinely do, but that's kind of what you say. And I think that's a valid way to look at things. But yeah, I think ultimately if someone does, and Rene Andrade did become he is a finalist this year, ironically. but he's obviously a extremely talented guy. It was great to see that restaurant, which has gotten a lot of play nationally get celebrated by the James Beard Awards. I mean, it is. It's exciting to see it. It's become like the most, you know, the most esteemed food award outside, I think, of the Michelin star. And right. definitely the most, you know, respected American-based food award. So, but nothing is above reproach. Everything should be looked at. And I think that their processes are a little opaque. It'd be nice to see them open that up a little bit and help people understand exactly how they pick winners.
Yeah. That, I mean, that was by far my favorite story. Very, very entertaining read, especially for anyone who loves any kind of like cooking competition and always hears about James Beard, even if you don't follow it. You've heard about it. Really, really well done there. I know you got to go early here, Craig. So give us a little sneak peek of what's coming up for the next issue.
What do we have for the next issue?
I know it's Best of the Valley going on right now.
Yeah, right.
So that'll be
our
big.
That's our
definitely
cover
the
story.
Big. Yeah. What else do we have for features?
Well, you know, we never like to go into it too deeply, but we have a. I'm going to do a piece on winemaking in Arizona and how it winemaking in Napa and Sonoma, Northern California, has influenced the wine culture here. But Best of the Valley is the big thing. I mean, it's our like physically biggest feature of the year every year. 50 pages of food and drink and lifestyle and entertainment, people and media. I mean, we do food taste tests. We bring in a celebrity taste test into the office. We try 8, for instance, smash burgers. I guess we can let that out. We're going to decide who does the best smash burger.
I like it.
In the Valley.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to determine that, find that information out for the reader. It's become, the smash burger has become a big thing.
Yeah, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to
do it. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, Best of the Valley is basically just a culmination of like what we do all year, celebrate local people and institutions. And essentially, we're doing research for all year and that we write, the things that we eat. And then we have Best Fest, which the pages of Best of the Valley come to life. That's August 17th.
Well, you know that offhand. Nicely done.
Little plug there.
Plug God over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
At the Deuce, we're moved into a new location this year. The Deuce, downtown Phoenix.
Downtown Phoenix in the Warehouse District is where the Best Fest is going to be. Now, that's a party based on the Best of the Valley issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, find out.
Anyone who's come to that, they rave about it. It's food, it's drink, it's, you know, scavenger hunt. It's
puppies available for adoption from the Humane Society.
Yeah,
right.
There's always a fun little, like, we have done a speakeasy. And yep. Scavenger hunt.
People love that. I just
karaoke.
Hear screams coming from the back of that speakeasy when people find it. Like they're excited for it.
That is a nice moment. It's always a warm moment when someone finds the speakeasy. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Wrap it up here. Any summer travel plans of your own?
Oh, gee.
Oh,
you got anything going on?
I do. So, one of my friends that I actually met when I was studying abroad in Australia when I was in college, we're celebrating our 10-year like friendiversary this year, and we are making a pilgrimage to the South. We're going to Nashville and Asheville.
Oh wow.
2024.
Nashville, Tennessee,
North Carolina.
Wow.
Just drop the N and go from one to the other.
Go to Louisville too and make it a
I know. I'm like, should we add more? Yeah, any recommendations?
Pluvie.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I'm going to Bend to meet my grandson.
Woo!
Yeah. Who I've never met. So
that's exciting. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig's a grandpa. Who knew?
Wow. Well, we already knew that.
Well, there you go. This is the Phoenix team. They're awesome. Thank you guys so much. Check out their latest issue, the May, June issue, Summer Travel. It's all about their staycation deals. There's great, air rentals everywhere, unconventional rentals. We have healthcare heroes, top agents, real estate agents. Yeah.
We profile doctors every year in the April issue, our big top docs issue, but we also had a great idea. I think your wife Molly had a great idea to do a profile of non-MDs, generally other people in the healthcare industry who, you know, from nurses to
physical therapists,
and kind of give them a spotlight. And I think it was a great little read. So yeah, that's
there's also a therapy pet in there, the Phoenix Children's cat. What is his name? Roger or something?
Roger Sterling.
Roger Sterling.
Mad Men. Yeah. Yes. The only, was it licensed therapy cat?
Yeah, I mean, he has like a huge claim to
fame. In America or something? Anyway, we had to put him in.
Naturally.
Yeah.
A unique feature indeed. Well, thank you guys so much. You've been great. The issue hits newsstands Friday, May 3rd. May 3rd, Friday.
May 3rd.
All right. Thanks, Friday. Guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much to Craig and Maddie for joining us on the Phoenix Magazine podcast to talk about the May-June issue on newsstands right now. I want to let you guys know about a new cool new event that we're doing here at Phoenix Magazine, the Escape Series. And what it is, it's an exclusive weekend getaway at a luxurious dude ranch with musical performances by Arizona's beloved, some of our beloved rock and roll icons. This first one coming up on Friday, September 20th, is with Roger Klein, and it's out at the Wickenburg Rancho de los Caballeros, the Rancho de los Caballeros Resort Dude Ranch in Wickenburg. You're going to show up, you're going to book a room, and you're going to hang out with Roger Klein. There's going to be musical performances. It's called the Escape Series with Roger Klein. It's in the new issue. There is information there for tickets. EscapeSeries.com is the website, EscapeSeries.com. It's the Escape Series with Roger Klein, presented by Phoenix Magazine. Thank you guys so much for listening, and remember to vote for Best of the Valley 2024 on PhoenixMag.com. You can vote once per day per category for Best of the Valley on PhoenixMag.com through May 19th. We'll talk to you next time.